Hey, welcome back into the Mountain Park Church podcast. My name is Andrew. I'm the lead pastor of Mountain Park, and we are in the middle of a summer series tracking through the book of Psalms. This is not a kind of Psalm 1 to 150 deal. This is as we have guests that are coming in to teach and to lead us. They are unpacking meaningful psalms to them. Today, I'm really excited for you to hear from my spiritual father and mentor, Randy Friesen. He and his wife, Marjorie, spend much of their time all over the world, equipping and training leaders in the kingdom, launching church planting movements, discipleship movements across the world, investing in the lives of men and women who are leaders across the world. And Randy is sharing today some of the things that God has been doing in and through them in their ministry, but also just connecting that to the book of Psalms, and specifically Psalm 1, and the invitation today to access streams of living water from Jesus, as opposed to digging out our own wells that often come with dirty and tainted water that does not nourish and sustain us and refresh us. So without further ado, my friend, spiritual father and mentor, Randy Friesen.
Good morning, church. This is a real honor to be with you again this morning. Thank you, Andrew, for the invitation. And my ailing mother lives just down the road, and so we were here for a few days visiting our family and Marjorie's family down the 401 in a little village called Leamington. So that's our week, and it's good to be with you here. I love what God is doing in this place. Big news in our home is we just became grandparents two weeks ago for the first time. And so scripture says that children's children are a crown for the aged. I'm fine with the crown. It's the last word that scares me. The aged word. So anyways, it's a new season of life for us, and we are grateful for a healthy little baby boy named Asher John. And God gave us a word for him. So I believe there's some purpose and destiny that he's walking into. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do in that little boy's life. I want to say thank you. As a congregation, you've invested in the equipping of marriages for pastors and leaders around the world. Marjorie and I have been equipping leaders in marriage health and empowering marriages for kingdom impact. And the material is called V3, Vision, Values, Vitality. And we did conferences in India and in Ethiopia this year. The conference strategy is train the trainers. So we trained about 25 leaders in each one of those countries. In the last few months, they've put on 6 conferences in each country. So 12 V3 marriage conferences for about 1,000 leaders. Those 1,000 leaders are all going back to their local churches to do church conferences. Without exaggeration, there will be many, many, many thousands of people going through that material. And I just want to say thank you for your investment. That was in 2 countries this year. This fall, we're going to be equipping leaders through the V3 strategy in another 6 countries all over East Africa. The leader training is happening in Nairobi in middle of September. Yeah, Nairobi, middle of September. And leaders from Uganda, Rwanda, East Congo, Southern Sudan, Burundi, all those countries in East Africa are coming together into Nairobi, train the trainers that are then going back to their nations, putting on 9 conferences this year, and then those people are going back to local churches. So it's exciting. This is a massive harvest. In this generation, many, many thousands of people are coming into the kingdom of God, but they have no background in Christian marriage. They didn't grow up in Christian families. They default to culture in their marriages, and they really need a foundation laid. And so God's given us some, not just principles, but some prophetic words related to marriage that we are excited to share. Marjorie's got a great teaching in that conference as well that God is using. So yeah, thanks for your investment in this. And we look forward to what God's gonna do in this coming year. I'm gonna take you on a bit of a journey with us today, if that's okay. So in the course of a year, we're all over the world. Our call in this season is to equip this next generation of mission leaders. And we're doing that in urban centers, but also in rural areas. Whenever I go into an unreached area, I always consider it a privilege. And so earlier this year, we were in northern Kenya, in a remote part of the Turkana County area. And these people it's a challenging situation. 3 years of drought, so no water. If you've ever been in a community that has no water, it's already a dry kind of wilderness, wasteland area. It's shocking. So you see people, everything's dry. You see people like kids, groups of kids walking around with yellow jerry cans, empty, looking for water. So parents send them off in the morning, forget going to school. You're not going to school today. Today, next week, next month, because you've got to go find water. If you don't have water, you're going to die. So kids are walking around looking for water, and there's a few water holes. And so you get some pictures here. So these people dig their own water holes. And you got to know that's unstable. Those walls collapse. The water at the bottom of those, the only way you would ever drink that is if you are desperate. And so they're drinking it. And these kids go down there and they bring up water. And they're going to drink that water. Now you got to know that that's going to kill you, okay? So there's all kinds of people in this part of the world drinking that kind of water. And it's a picture of not just their physical state, but also their spiritual state. They're digging their own wells, and these wells have crappy water in them. And spiritually, this part of the world is into shamanism, spiritism, and they call them diviners, witch doctors, putting curses on people. So our friends were there, and they've started a ministry, and we'll share some of their story here this morning. But God invited us to partner with them, to come alongside this family. And as we entered this community, I've never been attacked by the land before. But that's what I felt like. I was not only going into a dry place, but as we got out of the vehicle, I took maybe 10 steps and I already had thorns coming right up through my shoes. And I've never had thorns coming through my shoes ever before. And I'm not a careless walker. I'm not walking on thorns. I'm not even sure where they came from. But they are up into my shoe. And I'm like, ouch. I stop. I take my shoe off and I start pulling thorns out of my shoe. And one of those thorns I couldn't get out. And it was stuck in there. It broke off inside my shoe. And I can feel it as I'm walking. My buddy, he's walking along, and he's not a careless walker either. He just went past a thorn bush and it ripped his pants open, like a knife. And so we're just looking at each other like, what is this place? What is going on here? As we call these people to the living water that you can only find in Jesus, as we've been worshiping, one of the women in that group says, I had a dream last night. And you can just advance the slides here. I think the first slide was a group of people, but anyways, there's a woman. I don't know if you can get the woman's face there, those two women. Okay, this is our friend Faith. The next slide, Noah. Okay, not that one. It's a slide of two women, two traditional women. And the one on the right had the dream. So the one on the right, she said, I had a dream last night and I saw water coming into our community and I saw flowers. I saw trees like fruit trees. I saw this beautiful garden. And she said, I want that. I want what I saw last night. And we said, God is able to make that possible in this community. And it was like a confirmation of not just the spiritual water that God wants to bring, but also the physical water. So we put a team together and we drilled a well in that community just 3 weeks ago. And we hit water, really good water, about 150 feet down. And we hit water. Really amazing. And so we're putting up a water tank and a trough for the animals and building a little two, three room school in that community next to the water well. It's a game changer for that community. We brought in 10,000 liters of water that day. That's just a drop in the bucket. Okay, here's the crazy thing. In that region of northern Kenya, they found 13 years ago, a geologist found 200 billion cubic meters of water in the largest aquifer in northeastern Kenya. An aquifer underground, way down there, 200 billion cubic meters of water. And there are thousands of people starving, thirsty, dying above it. It's crazy. You and I have accessed living water this morning. Okay? We've drilled right down into the presence of God. We've experienced living water. There are lots of people around here that they have no idea this water exists. And they are thirsty. They are thirsty. Communities like this around the world are thirsty for living water. So if you've tapped into that living water, if you know where the aquifer is and you've found life, what are you doing to help other people access that living water? That's our invitation. And so in this season, we are joining what the Holy Spirit's doing in the lives of people and communities around the world to try to bring the living water we found in Jesus. I want to read, we're going to look at Psalm chapter 1 this morning, but here's Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41 verse 17, the poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. But I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. I will put in the desert the cedar and the acacia, the myrtle and the olive. I will set junipers in the wasteland, the fir and the cypress together, so that people may see and know and may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. Only God can take a desert and turn it into a forest. And as Andrew was praying this morning, some of us might walk in here this morning feeling like our lives are a desert. Only God can take your desert and turn it into a forest. The only way that happens is by accessing his living water. So Psalm 1 gives us a picture on how to access living water, and it's found in the presence of God. Psalm chapter 1, I understand you're doing a series on Psalms this summer. These are powerful words. In many ways, this psalm introduces the whole prayer book of the Psalms. This is the introduction and sets the tone for the whole book. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in this way of sinners or or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff, the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. You know, as that psalm begins, we don't all of a sudden make a decision to fall into a sin stronghold. It's a progress, it's a progression, it's a process. We walk maybe with some people we shouldn't be walking with. We walk down an alley we shouldn't be going down. We spend time with some folks or some places, whether it's online or with people, that open the door to thoughts and attitudes and actions that we never expected we would be pursuing. And then we stand and we spend time considering and meditating, and then we sit. And as we sit in that place, we find we are opening the door, we have opened the door to sin, and it bears lots of bad fruit in our lives. It's a process. This last week, I was sitting with someone very close to me as they were processing their father's transition from his home, from his basement apartment in his daughter's house, to a retirement facility, a transition that he's resisting. This man is 96 years old. This man has known God, you know, his whole life. At age 96, I'm going to be very straight up with you. He's accessing porn, okay? Not only accessing porn, he is talking to people who are deceptive, who are promising him things, as all of these, you know, there's whole business strategies that are focused on this. Billions of dollars are being expropriated from people's lives through deception. There's whole, you know, call centers on the border of Myanmar, Thailand, focused on this very thing. Deceptive texting, personifying people, luring people through greed, through lust, into inappropriate relationships, sending money, okay? Sending all kinds of money. Elderly people are falling into pits, slimy, slimy pits. And they are drowning. They are being engulfed in slimy pits of sin. This man, 96 years old, okay, you're never too old to stop, like, to sin, okay? 96 has become a different person than my friend understood. His father is not that person. He's raised a godly family, and in his 90s, he has fallen into a pit. It is devastating. It is devastating. You can fall into a pit at any age. You're never too old, you know, not to sin. So we have to have not just our eyes open, but we have to have awareness of where we can access living water, because we're all thirsty. Your spouse passes away and suddenly you're looking for friendship. You are looking for companionship, and you take one step and you take another step and another step, and pretty soon you find yourself in a pit. Exactly what we were singing about this morning. And God reaches into that pit and he rescues us. He invites us through repentance, through confession, to be rescued, to be pulled out of a pit and rescued. He wants to give us clean, living water instead of the dirty stuff we're drinking. Psalm 40 says this: I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Sacrifice offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings, sin offerings you did not require. You know, that word open, my ears you have opened. My ears you have opened is the word dug out. It's the same word that you'd use to dig a well. God has taken this person whose ears are closed and he has dug out, like wax you pull out of ears that stops your capacity to hear, like a well that's blocked. God wants to dig out our lives so that we can access his presence and living water. That's what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, you've opened up my ears to hear your voice, to respond to you. And when you do that, you access the presence of God. The process is simple. The process involves humbling ourselves. It involves acknowledging, I'm drinking water that is dirty. I'm drinking water that is not life-giving. I want to find living water. And so that heart desire to change is called repentance. We say, no, I'm tired of drinking this stuff. And we go the other way. And if you're here today and you're drinking dirty water and you know you're drinking dirty water, I just want to invite you to say, enough. Enough. I was created for better things than this. I want to drink some living water. I want to access the living water that's found in the presence of God. Through the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, I want living water. My friend Faith, who is part of this ministry team there in northern Kenya, she was trained at Oxford in England. She's a Turkana. You can put that husband-wife team picture up again, Noah. So on the left, the guy on the right's name's Benson. Benson's been an evangelist. He was a street boy. He was rescued by a missionary 40 years ago, and his life was totally transformed. He was educated. He served God. He's planted hundreds of churches in northern Kenya. His first wife died. He was devastated. Died not just through natural causes. I mean, there's spiritual warfare up there. So I don't know exactly what happened, but I do know that he is in a spiritual battle every day of his life. And God brought Faith to him as his second wife. Faith was studying in England, doing a further graduate degree in finance and economics. Faith has represented Kenya at the World Bank. Faith has invested Kenya's reserve funds in international money markets. She is a very astute business leader. People thought she lost her mind when she married this Turkana pastor, when she went back into the place she'd come from and began. The only way she did that, Faith answered that call, because as she's up in Oxford, the Holy Spirit starts speaking to her. She was caught in a bad relationship. She repented. She got out of that relationship and she began accessing living water. She began seeking the presence of God. And the Holy Spirit began speaking to her through dreams. And he showed her, I've got a plan for your life that goes way beyond anything you could ever imagine. She saw pictures of herself with hundreds of children. God said, I've called you to be a mother to many. She came back to Kenya. She got this great job with the Kenyan finance, national finance, investing the reserve funds. And then one of her friends was Benson's wife. And when Benson's wife died, she saw some of his posts and they began communicating. And when she was invited back up to the Turkana, she met Benson, she heard the call, and she realized this is what God was speaking to me about in England. And so those two have their own family now, but they have one daughter. They have one daughter named Treva, which is the name of our well drilling project, Treva. And the Lord's brought over 100 orphans to their house, okay? In ones and twos, over 100. Picture this. You've got a house and God starts bringing people to you, and he has already prophetically prepared you. He's already spoken to you. You know this is his call. This is not an accident. People start dropping kids off at your place. In the midst of, you know, these kind of drought situations, kids have no access to, you know, not just water, no, not just food, but everything. And they start collecting kids at your house. And so over 100 kids. They have no idea how to feed these kids. So she calls her sister. Her sister comes and they, in a clay oven, they are making food for these kids. And they don't know where the food's gonna come from, meal by meal. It's like a George Mueller story. It's wild. And God has been providing for these kids, not just for their food, not just for their, you know, clothing, but he's been educating these kids. Some of these kids are now graduating high school, heading into university and college in Nairobi. They are moving on and God provides the resources for them. So this story is a very, very powerful prophetic story of transformation in a unreached, least reached part of the world where someone accesses living water and their life becomes an oasis that transforms everyone around them, everyone around them. When we do leadership conferences up there, I've done one for this Benson. We brought together the Pequot and the Turkana tribe people in that leadership conference. These two tribes kill each other. They've got blood feuds that go back multiple generations. They steal each other's cattle and they kill each other. Pequot and Turkana, you ask anybody in that region, they fight. You understand? They fight. So you got leaders, Turkana, Pequot, at this conference. And the Lord spoke to me and said, have them wash each other's feet. So we had foot washing. You got to imagine how emotional that was. Those blood wounds, those blood feuds go generations. When those guys would go into the washroom, outside washrooms, they would go in pairs. Why? Because you got to have someone guarding your six. Okay? When you go into the washroom, you want someone guarding so that some other guy from another tribe doesn't come in and take you out at a ministry leadership conference. So I'm saying, Benson, who is here? Like, who are these people? He's like, these guys are all former bandits, okay? I said, really? Yeah, they're all former bandits. But they've been saved. They've been redeemed. God's been transforming their lives. Okay. God's able to heal cultures, families, feuds, wounds. The gospel is able to transform. I don't care what your family story is. The spiritual bloodlines that you come from. All of us need healing. All of us need restoration. All of us need transformation. When we come to Christ, we begin a multi-generational story of healing and transformation. I'm grateful for this grandson that God gave us. But you can have spiritual children. You can have spiritual grandchildren. You can be a part of a multi-generational family story of transformation. This church is called to be that story of transformation in this part of Canada. A multi-generational story of transformation. And it works through us, who have accessed living water, who found the source of life, who are drinking from the well that never runs dry, living water found in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. So this is our invitation. That's what the psalmist is getting at as he gives us this picture between the path of the wicked and the path of the righteous. You get a choice as to which path you're gonna walk and which kind of water you're gonna access. That choice is for all of us. So when our ears are open, we begin to listen to the Holy Spirit. We begin listening to the Word of God. We start meditating on the Word of God. And what happens when your life is planted next to the Word of God and next to the streams of living water, you start bearing fruit in your life. It's just a natural outflow. So you're like a tree. I like a tree that accesses water. I grew up a few kilometers from here working on my uncle's fruit farms. I've picked peaches, cherries, all that stuff as a kid, and I know how important water is. When I was about 12, 13, I remember my uncle brought in drip irrigation, so we started pumping from Lake Ontario. We started pumping in from Lake Ontario, and we laid out those black spaghetti tubes underneath all the trees, and we, you know, put in the feeder lines, and we hundreds and hundreds of acres of fruit trees began accessing water on a consistent daily basis. And you know what happens then? The fruit begins to grow. You can regulate how big that fruit gets by the water you feed it. And that's the same in our lives. You access living water, your fruit will grow. Your life will testify that you found a source others cannot see, but you found a source of living water. Faith, she gets up in the morning, because I ask her, like, Faith, how do you do that? How do you not go absolutely crazy? You have 100 kids here. You're in the midst of a whole drought. This place is a spiritual war zone. You got diviners and wizards trying to kill you. How do you survive? She says, I get up every morning between 2 and 5. That's the only time this house is quiet. Between 2 and 5, she gets up for 3 hours and she is in the presence of God. This woman is worshiping and she's in the word and she's meditating and she's accessing living water. She says, I then spend about an hour and a half sleeping after that, and then I'm up and ready to go. And she says, if I don't get that in the middle of the night, I can't make it. How long have you been doing this, Faith? Many years. Many years. Wow. I don't care how dry, how challenging my environment is, there is always ways to access living water if you contain the Holy Spirit. You might have to fight for it. You might have to do unusual things. But when you access that living water, everyone who sees your life will testify there's fruit there. That person is fruitful. That person is full of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness. All the fruit of the Holy Spirit will be evident publicly when you access living water privately. No one can see what you do in the middle of the night. No one can see what your habits are early in the morning. They all can, though, see the fruit in the course of the day as we spend time with each other. It says in this scripture that whatever this person does who accesses the presence of God, that yields fruit in season, leaf does not wither, which means it's quite hot. There's probably times of testing or challenge or heat. Whatever they do prospers. Prospers. That's an interesting word. It means more than material wealth. We think it's just material wealth because that's the definition we're used to. A lot more than that. Prosper is the word that Abraham's servant used when he went to go find a wife for his master's son, Isaac. Prosper me today. Prosper me. It's the same word used to describe Joseph as he's in Potiphar's house, the captain of Pharaoh's guard. God prospered him. It's the same word to describe Joseph when he's in prison. God prospered him. It's the same word that describes Samson when he strangles a lion with his bare hands. God prospered him. It's the same word that describes David when the Spirit of God anoints him in 1 Samuel 16:13. When the Spirit of God comes on him as a young shepherd boy, God prospers him. When the presence of God fills your life, you are prospered. It's way more than just physical. It is in every area of your life. You thrive. You flourish. You become a person who carries the living presence of God. You are an agent of transformation in this world. That's the opportunity that God gives us through the Holy Spirit. Have you accessed that living water? Are you walking in it? Jesus said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. By this, he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. And so we've been given access to the presence of God so that God would prosper us and we would be a blessing to those around us. I was just hearing a story this week, because this results in transformation in not just our lives, but the lives of people around us. From Ethiopia, just across the border there in northern Israel, or Kenya, in Ethiopia, there are some very unreached hostile tribes. So there are places in the world that don't have anyone sharing the gospel with them. You know that to this day. So one of our programs, training programs, and again, I'm involved in training leaders all over the place. Some of the leaders we trained in southern Ethiopia did their own training, and they had a large group of leaders, and they, after their training, they said, we're going to do an outreach. That's part of our strategy. And so they went with their outreach, and they prayed, and they felt they were supposed to go into this unreached area with this hostile tribe that wouldn't let anyone in. Like, they would kill you. And so they spent a week with that group of trained leaders fasting and praying. 1 week of fasting and praying, and then preparing themselves. And as they went into that area, they were challenged by some armed guys. And then they said, what are you doing here? And they said, well, we're here because we love you. And they're like, what do you mean? We see you don't have schools. You don't have medical care. We believe the Creator has sent us to help you. We want you to know you're valuable. You're loved. So the chief comes, challenges them, asks them why they're there. And they communicate the same thing. And they said, if anyone's sick, we'd like to pray for them. So they get sick people and they allow them to pray. 7 people were healed that first day. Those 7 people opened up that whole tribe. Then they said, if anyone here has troubling spirits, we'll pray for you. About 20 people were delivered from demons. And when that happened, went right through the whole tribe from the chief on down. Hundreds of people came to Christ because they acknowledged the power and presence of Jesus. They just said, this is a greater power than anything we've been worshiping. And so they said, we're going to follow Jesus. Churches are planted throughout that whole area. In the space of a few weeks, a community, a tribe, a people group that is unreached is transformed. Government services can come in. Schools can come in. Clinics can come in. Everything now is flowing into that community because of the gospel. Jesus is the difference maker. Wow. From desert to a forest, from a dry place to a fertile land. That's the story of our lives. That's the story of communities. That's the hope that we are offering in Christ. The government cannot do that. The government can't do that. Not only in southern Ethiopia, they can't do that here. This only happens by accessing the living presence of God. So we experience the prosperity, the presence of God, his blessing and his presence through his Spirit. You want that? You want more of it? We want to pray for you this morning as we close. We want to pray for living water to flow through your life. If you've fallen into a pit, don't go another day drinking that lousy water. There's living water that God has for you.
Hey, just as we bring this podcast episode to a close, I wanted to leave you with a few thoughts. First of all, the good news that Jesus brought with the kingdom is that his kingdom is here and it's fully available to you. Whether you are stuck or trapped in one of those pits or not, Jesus wants to transform and change your life. He wants to work in every area, every dimension of your life. And the good news of the kingdom is you don't have to earn it first. You don't have to work for it first. You don't even need to know exactly where you stand with Jesus in order for him to bring the goodness of the Father and the kingdom into your life. If you are stuck in a pit, if you are dealing with habitual sin or addiction or anything going on in your family, your marriage, your life, we want to walk with you. We're willing to walk with you. We have resources that we employ, staff that we employ to pastor and walk with you, prayer processes for deliverance, for inner healing, for ministry, for physical healing. We want to walk with you in that stuff. So you can connect with MP, as in Mary Poppins, mp.church, find our prayer page and reach out to us directly. It doesn't matter if you go to our church or not. We want to serve you. So you are welcome to do that. You are deeply loved. And because Jesus is here, anything is possible. He always brings the kingdom of his Father, our Father, with him. Wherever he's going, there is hope for you today. You're loved. See you next time.